This is the Shift Podcast.
Today on the Shift Daily Podcast, NASA wants to shoot a rocket at an asteroid, kind of like darts on a dartboard. So Andrew C. Ferreira joins us to talk about weird science, takes a look at NASA's first planetary defense mission, plus why the sun is barfing and it makes our skies beautiful at nighttime. Handy Andy inspires a new wave of Shift fans on Facebook. We chat about his upcoming wedding with some family members, and he shares what an Indian wedding is like. He also dives into our four ways to protect packages from porch pirates during the holidays, which is really just one way with a big box, but still worthy of you noting. Plus, are you okay with peanut butter and so much more on the Shift Daily Podcast?
This is the Shift Podcast.
Are you okay? Are you okay with getting your photo taken?
Like by a professional?
With permission?
Yeah. I guess. Yeah, well, I mean,
with permissions. Yeah, it's important.
Permission, yeah.
All right.
I enjoy it. I like the pictures, especially when you like make a day out of it and take some really nice photos and you have stuff to look back at. Yeah.
It is fun.
I really enjoy
it. It does feel fancy when you have like lights and all that fancy stuff.
Oh, yeah. Headshots? Everybody should have a headshot.
Worth it.
For themselves.
Boudoirs. Go get the boudoir.
I wouldn't do that.
Express your sexy. You'd be like George from Seinfeld.
I'm good.
All right.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, George from Seinfeld with the shirtless. Yeah.
Where he's on the chaise.
Yeah, he's on the show. Oh, yeah.
It's good. You should do it. All right. Sometimes you can strike a pose for a photo or take a selfie or have it taken by a complete stranger, and that can lead to some really weird things. A tweet from a former student at a Michigan university is going viral after he calls out the school for using his picture to promote international students. Nothing wrong with the picture except for the fact that Muhammad Khan was born in Michigan. He graduated from Grand Valley State University last year and also said the picture was taken more than 2 years ago. Here's more from ABC 13.
I was born here in Lansing, Michigan, actually, at Sparrow Hospital.
In other words, Muhammad Khan is from here. So how did he feel when his photos showed up on Grand Valley's international students page?
I was actually shook.
Khan says the picture isn't even recent.
This picture was taken like over 3 years ago.
He and his friend John, also from Michigan,
nobody in that picture is an international student,
were sitting between classes when a group of photographers asked if they could take their photo.
We were just like, sure, why not? And they said that it was going to be used for the business school.
A friend told him this week where the photo was, and Khan took to Twitter, jokingly saying, bro, we both were born in Michigan. The tweet started off with 1,000 likes the first day.
And I wake up today, it's like over 100,000. I was like, what just happened here?
GVSU replied with a tweet saying, thank you for bringing this to our attention. We've contacted the department, and it seems this photo was used in error. It has now been removed from the website. We apologize for this misrepresentation. Khan found the response ironic after a recent GVSU tweet about receiving a diversity award.
You think they would like have a little more organization and maybe figure out who's in their pictures that they're posting?
It is extremely ironic, isn't it? Why don't they say ironic. It was used in error? Why don't they just say it? It was used in absolute stereotype.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, just be completely honest about it. You'll get more points with that.
I think they would get more points with that. I mean, how dreadful is that? Do a little research. Like, actually put an international student on there.
Yeah.
Here, why don't you go really, really, actually get really crazy with it and don't be stereotypical at all? And just put like some white kid from Ireland in the Michigan international student thing. Because international people don't have to be of a different skin color. Ooh, that would be a notion, wouldn't it? Actually letting an international student just be an international student and not have to fulfill some sort of stereotype?
Yeah.
That's the dumbest thing. So Khan told ABC News that he never expected a tweet to get as much attention as it did, but he's happy to show others it's okay to speak up, which is cool. I mean, the 3 years old for the photo, fine. You gave permission to you to take the photo, fine. Most schools totally today, you have to actually sign a thing that says the school can use your photo in public things, fine. All that stuff. But to use some local guys as part of the international school, not cool.
Not cool. That's not a good look. Not a good look at all.
Well, international doesn't mean different skin color. That's the part that gets me, right?
Yeah, it's very stereotypical, and it's very, like, you can tell, oh, he's not white. Oh, that'll be appealing. Put him in there.
Yep.
Are we sure we know where he's from? Who cares? We care.
That's absolutely what happened, I promise you. I'm assuming, of course, but I'd put money on it. Are you okay? I know Ryan's okay with this. Are you okay with peanut butter sandwiches?
Oh, yes, sir. Absolutely. I went good.
Wishes?
Oh, did I spell it wrong?
And
I thought you were just saying it.
The slash on the end.
Is there a slash at the end there?
There's a slash on the end of it.
Are you okay with peanut butter sandwiches?
That's a typo.
Sandwiches.
It's actually two typos. Well, yeah. Ryan loves peanut butter. He's a big fan. And I've been trying to eat a little bit better. I also like the peanut butter. So when I was getting my celery for the stuffing this weekend, I got a little extra more celery sticks. So I could have a little peanut butter in my celery sticks. You know, healthier snacks than the average bear, even though there's lots of sugar and peanut butter. But simple sandwich. Right, Ryan?
Mm-hmm. Very simple. You don't need much. I actually I prefer to have it be simple. I don't think you need the jam. I don't think you need the banana. Not every time. If you have good peanut butter and good bread, that's all you need.
All right. Very simple sandwich. Enjoyed by millions of kids and addicts every day.
Oh, I can't wait till I grow up and become an addict.
Oh, that's the one. That's the next stage. Before senior,
it's a typo! It's a typo!
Adults. Yeah. Millions of adults, kids, and addicts every day. Peanut butter spread between two slices of bread. It's perfect. Except if you're allergic, then it's really not that great. Hang on. That's not how you spell allergic.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what's funny?
Yeah, I had to check too, but it's missing an L.
Yeah. This is gents. This is the draft script. Yeah, this is not the typo proof script. So have your fun here. Just have your fun here. It's going to be a nightmare.
Ryan thinks Hess put on 10 pounds due to the amount of peanut butter he eats every week.
Hmm. Yeah, at least. Yeah. It's very fattening, but it's good. It's not like horrible fat.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a typo.
What if you were nated to use that sandwich?
Okay. Do you got...
That's a typo.
Sandwich.
That's a typo.
Not for eating, but for international espionage.
It's not. No, internatinal.
Guys, oh, internatinal.
This is speed typing. I had a dinner to get to tonight, okay? This is speed typing.
Sure.
I'm taken away from the magic of this story.
That's Wahat.
That's a typo.
A U.S. Marine tried to do last week when he slipped military secrets inside of peanut butter. Whoa. Sandwich.
Oh, no.
Kick. I can't believe you said earlier in this story, you said, oh, did I spell it wrong? You spelt sandwich four different ways in four different attempts.
Yeah. Four.
Yeah.
Well, here's more on the peanut butter sandwich kicks from NBC News.
A Navy nuclear engineer and his wife charged with attempting to share top secret information about some of America's most important national security technology. A criminal complaint unsealed Sunday alleges that Jonathan Tebbe, who began working with the Navy in 2012 and has top secret clearance, tried to send a package containing military documents and other files to an intelligence agency in a foreign country. Instead, they ended up in the hands of the FBI. Tebbe left a package at a dead drop location in West Virginia containing an SD card. According to court documents, the SD card was wrapped in plastic and placed between two slices of bread on a half of a peanut butter sandwich. And during a separate drop, another SD card was hidden in a sealed Band-Aid wrapper with a Band-Aid inside a clear Ziploc bag.
That's creative. Give him that.
It's creative. He still got caught.
There's more to the story. By August 28th, the FBI had paid Jonathan Tebbe $100,000 in cryptocurrency, the documents say. The next day, he sent an email thanking the person he believed was a foreign agent for their partnership, the documents say. One day when it's safe, perhaps two old friends will have a chance to stumble into each other at a cafe, share a bottle of wine, and laugh over stories of their shared exploits. He is alleged to have written, adding, I will always remember your bravery in serving your country and your commitment to helping me. As you can imagine, residents of their Maryland neighborhood were all tile, stunned. Not as stunned as me.
That's a typo.
Were also a little stunned or also stunned. Could go either
way. A little stunned. I don't know. A little stunned.
At the story.
The word got combined and reversed in that typo.
Yeah.
There. That's what happened.
Yeah. This one didn't. Because. Oh. It's pretty nuts. Because. Well, anyway, they told NBC that the Tobys kept to themselves.
Wow. It's a. No, it's pretty incredible. It's like a. Out of a movie, you know?
It's a quiet neighborhood, and everyone's very law-abiding. So it was a little surprising.
Wow. They're going to be in court today. I'd like to take this moment to acknowledge Alex Winans on the Shift Facebook group, who sent Ryan a very happy Thanksgiving message.
Yeah, I got a couple of those, actually. I'd like to thank anybody who sent me a typo message. Solidarity, my friends. Well, can't let these, you know, grammar police take us down.
I was going to say thanks for the audio in that story, because otherwise I had no idea what any of that was about.
Mm.
Based on the description, anyway.
Oh, I just realized it actually says happy Thanksgiving. How about that? Doesn't even say Thanksgiving. Very good. Are you okay? Are you okay with fortune cookies? Wait, let me guess. Yes, the fortune says.
I don't think they taste very good. I'll always eat them. I'll always eat them after. I think they're okay. I like taking the fortune, and sometimes it's very coincidentally correct. But I don't think they taste great. I think they're okay.
I don't know if anyone enjoys fortune cookies for the taste. It's more just the vagaries that they try to force into their life story that's written on a piece of paper in the middle. Like, today you will find happiness by breathing.
I know. I have a fortune for Ryan. In this story, there's going to be a typo.
Yeah, I already saw it.
The tasty cookies almost always come after a plate of Chinese food.
Nice plate of Chinese food.
Huh. Oh, nice plate.
That's a typo.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Translated by the subtitles of the shift are provided by Ryan O'Donnell. Who knows what'll be on the paper inside that cookie? Regardless of what it says, the fortune is usually positive or at least a little ironic. But have you ever gotten a bad fortune in a fortune cookie? This happened to employees at a Target distribution center in the States, and it couldn't have come at a worse time. They told CBS they became the target of a fortune cookie joke.
Not one of those that I read was uplifting, positive.
On Wednesday, some Target distribution center employees in Galesburg opening up fortune cookies after their shift.
What were some of the messages?
I see money in your future. It is not yours, though. The fortune you seek is in another cookie.
While our cameras were rolling, employee James Campbell opened up two other fortune cookies.
Maybe. This one again, the fortune you seek is in another cookie. Again, not very positive. This cookie fell on the ground. So why would I want to eat that?
That's what the message says?
Correct, yeah.
That's pretty good. This message fell on the ground, or this cookie. Nice.
Hey, who's making those?
Okay, well, apparently it gets worse, much like the spelling, according to employees.
Oh, no.
That's a typo.
According to employees, they got the cookies right after learning they wouldn't be getting the full raise eyes. Oh, my God.
That's a typo.
They were hoping for.
On Tuesday, one day before this incident, Target announcing they're giving employees for all distribution centers during the two predicted busiest weeks of holiday season $2 extra an hour. Campbell says that's far less than they deserve.
And then we received the cookies a day later, so, and unintentional, I mean.
Must have been frustrating.
Very.
Campbell says the discouraging messages inside these fortune cookies have driven him and other employees to a breaking point.
So this gets better. So not only did they have negative fortunes inside their fortune cookies, let's continue. A Target spokesperson told Channel 3 they're highly confident it was an honest mistake, writing, "We provided snacks to the team this week. the snacks were provided by their bosses at Target. Gave them the staff. Here you go, team. Have some snacks, including fortune cookies with pre-printed messages inside. They say, we've looked into this, and we're confident Target did not have any hand in choosing the written messages. They were simply the messages that came in the fortune cookies. Terribly ironic. Man.
It's a pretty specific fortune, right? Somebody had to buy ironic or sassy fortune cookies at some point.
I would say. Someone dropped the ball. I'm sure they'll never find out who did, but definitely a big fail, and they should be treated better, said Mr. Campbell with the story. Oh, we've got to do this one. Do we have time? Yeah, we've got to be quick. Let's hope that we can get through it. Okay. Are you okay with the Beatles?
Well, we know someone isn't.
Someone's not.
Yeah.
We've already established Ryan's dislike for the Beatles. But what about you? Fun fact, Ryan actually loves one song by the Beatles.
I do.
Ryan fell in love with that song after listening to Morrissey.
No, actually, it was on Psychedelic Sunday.
Oh, good. Yeah. Regardless of if you like them or not, almost everyone knows the story of the Beatles. Let's acknowledge Ryan spelling the Beatles correctly. Their rise to the biggest band of all time, breakups, solo acts, and murder. It's an incredible story, but one part of it has always remained a mystery until now. Who broke up the Beatles? Was it John, Yoko, Paul? Aliens, maybe? Paul McCartney recently revealed the long-awaited answer, in his opinion. Here's more from Morning Express.
Now he is 79 years old, Robin. He says he's been unfairly blamed for breaking up the group back in 1970. In a new interview with The Guardian, McCartney denied causing the split altogether. He says, quote, "I am not the person who instigated it. Oh, no, no, no. John walked into a room one day and said, I am leaving the Beatles. Is that instigating the split or not?" However, it has been widely reported over the years that McCartney had broke up the band when he told a journalist that the Beatles no longer existed. McCartney says he got fed up with hiding the breakup and finally let the cat out of the bag.
Okay. To talk about that with us on The Shift, Alan Cross tonight is going to join us with band breakups, including the Beatles and everything they went through. Now, McCartney went on to say that Lennon's decision to leave the band was driven by his pursuit of social justice, including movements such as Bagism, where he and his wife Yoko wore bags to ensure people did not judge others based on their appearance. Keep in mind, they were millionaires. McCartney will release a book of commentaries on his song lyrics next month, edited by Irish poet Paul Muldoon, including the songs written for the Beatles. Full interview will air on October 23rd. No typos in that story. Well done, sir.
Wow.
Well done. I like it.
Thank you.
A couple of text messages. Hey, Shift, show of peanuts. Peanuts are a high-calorie, starchy legume and not a nut. So now you know. So your pea legumes, Ryan, enjoy your pea legume butter.
Nothing more than a legume, that's it.
I have a peanut butter sandwich for lunch every single day. Two pieces of fresh bread, one side butter, one side peanut butter. No other ingredients required from Glennie. There you go. You have an ally. And Trucker Kevin to the fortune cookies. Are you okay with fortune cookies? Trucker Kevin says, fortune cookies dipped in Cool Whip. Yummy. Now, if you had a fortune cookie that was filled with Cool Whip, could be onto something. Just saying.
This is The Shift Podcast.
Andrew Ferreira is weird.
So weird, he loves science more than sleep and other people. It's time for Andrew Ferreira's Weird Science.
In the world of the sciences, set him free from his cage. Andrew C. Ferreira is here on The Shift with so many sciencey things. How was your Thanksgiving, Andrew? Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving. Several metric tons of turkey.
Hmm. Wow.
I did melt some of the high-grade Havarti cheese into my mashed potatoes, and that was an excellent decision.
Oh, that's interesting.
Also, just absolutely murdered it with garlic. Just had a good old time.
Really? Sounds like fantastic weekend.
Yeah, I feel like I could keel over and sleep for the next 6 weeks any moment now. So,
hibernation, never a bad thing. Hey, man, in the world of science, apparently we're going Armageddon the movie on space things. What is happening?
Yeah, so this is actually a mission that's been in the works for quite a while now, as space missions tend to be. It's called the DART mission. It's not, you're not going out and hacking a dart behind the ice rink. It's not that kind of dart. This is the double asteroid redirection test. I know NASA space science names are very creative. It's just whatever. It is what it is. But this is, in fact, a test of a planetary defense method. And this is really, it's the simplest planetary defense method. It is the kinetic impactor technique.
That's very fancy.
Otherwise known as hit it until it moves. Yeah. Is kind of the MO for this. So what'll happen is this mission is, it's scheduled to launch sometime next month. I believe the launch window opens November the 24th. This is going to launch on a SpaceX vehicle just because, you know, SpaceX gets all the cool things now, I guess.
Yeah.
And the target for this mission is a an asteroid or a binary asteroid called Didymos, also known by its significantly catchier name, 65803. So Didymos is a binary asteroid system. It's got a big one and a little one, like the Earth and the Moon, kind of. The main body is about 800 meters across. And the secondary body, or they're calling it a moonlet, which I love that name, is about 160 meters in cross. And they want to analyze the impact that hitting the moonlet, which is more typical of the size of asteroid that, you know, we can't really see coming from far away, so would pose the greatest threat. We can see a 500 or 600 meter asteroid and hopefully act fast enough to deal with it. But something smaller like that won't be like an extinction level event. It won't be like a continent razor, but it will be, you know, significant geographic areas would be wiped off the map if something like that were to hit. So what DART's going to do, and as evidenced by the fact that it's being called the kinetic impactor test, is it's going to just fly itself into the moonlet at a speed of approximately 7.5 kilometers per second, which is pretty fast. So what's going to happen is there's an onboard camera. They've got fancy like autopilot to its death, I guess. And what they're hoping to see is the effect that the collision will have, on the moonlet as it orbits around the main body of the asteroid of that binary system. So what they're looking for is a change in the speed of the moonlet by a fraction of 1%. That is all that this mission is going to be able to do. And it really does put into context how I'm going to mince my word. I'm not going to mince my words. You're screwed. We would be.
Yeah.
If something big was coming to Earth, there is no feasible defense mechanism that we have. We could theoretically, I suppose, in a last ditch effort, launch nukes that we know, you know, a bunch of countries have. But whether or not that successfully deflects the asteroid or simply causes a bunch of now radioactive asteroid parts to rain all over the planet, is another question. But this fraction of 1% change in the orbital period of this moonlet, and over the course of time, that'll add up to a several minute change in its orbital time, is enough to be measured here on Earth. And so the big kind of, in a way, the actual spacecraft itself isn't the main science here. The science is observing what happens after the spacecraft collides. Earth-based telescopes and observation systems and planetary radar systems will be tracking this incredibly closely because we want to see what kind of impact an impact has on an orbiting body around the sun. And this will inform, you know, future, quite literally, planetary defense efforts because it's well documented that we just do not know what really is out there. We've got a good handle on like the biggest like civilization ending stuff. But the smaller kind of regional stuff is still very much hidden in the darkness, if you will. And the DART mission hopes to enlighten that just a little bit more.
Well, I imagine a bunch of drunk guys drinking beers, throwing darts in a bar. And I thought that you would prove to me that that wasn't the case, but it sort of seems to be the case, Andrew.
Yeah, they're just going to huck something at it and see what happens. It's very highly, extremely choreographed hucking, but it's there. And just because you know, now is now and time is fleeting. There's actually a geomagnetic storm watch in effect, which if you didn't know that was a thing.
No.
Now you know is a thing. Basically, the sun sneezed a couple of days ago and launched a part of its atmosphere at the Earth, which is currently colliding with it. And as a result, if you are lucky enough, you know, in the current-ish moments to live anywhere along the northern-ish latitudes here in Canada, I'm thinking, you know, mid-latitude, Alberta, Manitoba, northern Ontario. I've seen cameras as far south as Washington State and Minnesota picking up aurora riding along the northern horizon. So if you want to go outside and take a look, if you've been lucky enough to have clear skies, it might be worth a look because the atmosphere is doing its thing right now. And we'll be doing its thing for the balance of the evening tonight.
There are some fantastic photos on, you know, how Global TV does their 6 o'clock photo things they do on the news. Yeah. There's been some amazing ones, even from my own city here of Airdrie from last night with the aurora dancing, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there, I've seen some great shots out of Jasper, Alberta. A couple of shots out of central Washington. And the further south you are, the further you'll have to go out of the city and the more you'll need a clear northerly view in order to see them. But that's happening right now. So if you wanted to just, you know, duck out in a couple minutes and check on that, I highly suggest it. You'd never know.
Cool. I like it. Okay. So, sorry, I thought you were done. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say there's one more thing, but if you've got something else you want to go for, I'm
well, you go ahead. I mean, I was going to talk about the lady that almost took one of those darts in the forehead. except it was like the drunk guy threw the dart at the asteroid and the asteroid turned around and hucked it back at Earth.
Just like, nah, you take that. No, it is interesting. You know, the chance, just like there's a great internet thing that you always see. It's like the chance of you being killed by a duck are always non-zero. The chances of being, you know, and luckily for this woman, she dodged, you know, by about several inches. Not a very not good time. The odds of space debris falling on you is never zero. There's always some chance of it. So, you know, there's nothing you can really do about it. Just hope you're in the right place at the right time, unless you're, I don't know, you have a planetary radar system attached to the roof of your house and you can get alerts for this thing, which I don't know anybody who does.
But yeah.
If you do, hit me up at Twitter, Andrew, but worst, I want to know about your home-based planetary radar systems because I think that's pretty cool.
So the story is the lady goes to bed and a space rock goes through her roof and hits her pillow.
Yeah, it's a close call.
Wow.
It's the world we live in. Earth gets grazed by space debris all the time. And we always see it in video, in like shaky dashboard videos of this green flash in the sky or like the streak of a meteor going through the atmosphere. But enough instances of the actual rocks making it to the Earth, you know, in one piece, they're out there. And this is just another one where, you know, this woman, you know, she high rolled on her dice and dodged that one by a few inches. So
I can't imagine.
No, I don't even know how I'd react. I might not even process it.
Do you know if she gets to keep it or does she have to turn it in somewhere?
I don't know if she would have to turn it in, but I'm sure she'd be compelled to.
Yeah, I know that in Canada, when it comes to fossils, you have to register them with the government.
Yeah.
And you can keep them in your possession if the government says so, but they can also recall them. You're not allowed to sell them. Yeah. In America, you find a fossil, it's yours, you can sell it. So when you go to a store and you buy, you know, I don't know, dinosaur teeth or something, they're usually American because they're one of the countries that allows you to do that. I'd be super curious to see if you get to keep that. Because, I mean, this was a giant, pretty big rock. I mean, the rock looked like it was, I don't know, big as a softball?
Big. Yeah, it was that was the impression that I got when I saw the picture is, you know, as if the universe decided to underhand a softball through this poor lady's roof. But yeah, I don't know the rules beyond that, honestly. I would imagine that, you know, because this is Canada and generally people here are kind of like, yeah, whatever, science is actually pretty neat. I imagine she'll at least consider, you know, donating it to a museum or something. But if not, I mean, hey, you've got one hell of a story and one hell of a mantelpiece. He's like, you know, tell the kids back in my day, we had to dodge rocks falling out of the sky.
Right. Speaking of rocks falling out of the sky, the story of this volcano that's erupting in the Canary Islands, have you been following it all? Because it's pretty darn cool.
Oh, the imagery from it is just absolutely incredible. You know, of course, notwithstanding the toll on property and the danger to livelihood.
When I say cool, I certainly mean how explosive it is, not the fact that it's like literally like 1,000 buildings or something. Like, it's not good for the people, but the power of it is certainly impressive.
It is awe-inspiring. And it's just another reminder that, like, we don't live in a static, unchanging world where we are safe from many things. On the contrary, we are not safe from very many things. Many things can and do go wrong. And in a way, you know, these two stories of the lady dodging, you know, a softball come from high heaven, and the earth going, gonna go ahead and hack a loogie here all over the Canary Islands. We live in and on an ever-changing planet in an ever-changing solar system in an ever-changing universe. And I think that's, in a way, it's scary. But in a way, it's also kind of humbling. We're not the end-all be-all of everything there is. We're just little dust mites chilling out, you know, turning our voices into radio waves. All that good stuff, bickering about, you know, politics and the local sports team. Mm-hmm. But it is, I don't know, I find at the end of the day, it's a reminder, you know, beyond the cool footage of, you know, that pool that was getting invaded by a lava flow and all the spectacular lava fountains that you see, you know, it's a reminder. And I think that's important too.
Well, it is a good reminder actually for us to keep in mind that, you know, we weren't here first. We're probably not going to be here last. And the reality is that whether we like it or not, you know, climate and tectonic plates and all of those things, I mean, they're changing with or without us anyway.
Exactly.
And so we probably should do our best to take care of it and make sure that we get as much time as we can. How about Captain Kirk going to space? I figured you might have a comment.
Hey, you know what? Man's got the money. He's got the public influence. He's 90 years old. You know, if once that reaches, you know, the limits to space, I think he becomes the oldest astronaut to have ever made it to space at that point, mm-hmm. Which is extremely fitting for Captain Kirk. You know, be as cynical as you want or as, you know, optimistic as you want about the whole prospect or specter of private space flight. It is very cool at the end of the day. And I can't think of, you know, a better person, I suppose, in terms of what they've represented for science fiction, for popular media. To represent, you know, kind of another, if you will, step forward for private space flight and hopefully the eventual opening up of space to, you know, businesses, individuals, that I think it's on the horizon. Like there's no doubt in my mind. And to leapfrog off of that, you know, that's one thing that's really interesting. But I think that another kind of proof that we're getting better at this whole space thing. There's another mission that's actually, its launch window, I believe, starts Saturday of the 16th, and it's called Lucy. It's the first ever mission that NASA is shooting towards the Trojan asteroids, which are a group of asteroids that follow in front of and behind Jupiter in its orbit. And due to fancy gravitational mechanics, they're kind of locked there. Huh. So they don't really move too much with respect to Jupiter itself. They shadow it fore and aft. But Lucy will be launching hopefully, you know, this Saturday. And it'll do a flyby of several Trojan asteroids from tiny, you know, dozen kilometer wide things to these hunkin' 400 something kilometer space rocks. And this will be the first time that scientists will have ever had, you know, really a good up close look at Trojan asteroids. And like almost every mission that we see out towards like the asteroid belt and these Trojan asteroids and into the Kuiper belt with New Horizons is every time we look at one of these rocks, we get an idea of what the early solar system looked like. And I think that it's almost like a paleontology, if you will, this history of the universe that goes back well beyond the dinosaurs or single celled life here on Earth or all of that. Like the evidence for this is probably in these rocks. We don't really know what to expect. This Lucy mission is going to be more than a dozen years long. It's going to make its final flyby of an object in 2033. And if it has the fuel and power to do so, I don't see why the mission won't be extended beyond that. And yes, 2033 is only about 12 years away. So in case you needed a bit of a scary wake-up call that time doesn't stop ticking, there it is.
It's a very grounding conversation, if you will, about space. Andrew C. Ferreira, thank you very much for your time. I hope your metric tons of turkey sit with you well.
Oh, I'm sure they will. They do every year, and I'm certain they will continue.
This is the Shift Podcast.
Now, Handy Andy Barrar is here, Disco Andy. Let's welcome him, bring him in here, because he's our resident farmer and disco dancer. Sometimes he even wears his disco pants when he's farming. Jicama. J-I-C-A-M-A. Do you know what it is, Andy Barrar?
I have no idea. What is that?
It is a Pasteurisus erosus, commonly known as jicama, Mexican yam bean or Mexican turnip, is the name of a native Mexican vine, although the most commonly refers to the tuberous root. It looks kind of like a ginger mixed with a garlic clove, mixed with a potato, mixed with like a yam. It's white, though.
That sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of roots, I just tried something today. You ever heard of grog? You ever heard of something called grog?
No.
So it's really common in Fiji, and it's this root and this like stem of the root. And what they do is they grind it and they make it into like a drink. And apparently when you drink it, you kind of like your tongue and your lips all get numb, and it's supposed to kind of give you like this body stone. So I was at this wedding function earlier today, and they were serving this, and you know, I had no idea what it was. I thought it was like chai tea, but it was cold. And then I was like, what is this? It tastes earthy. And they're like, yeah, if you keep drinking enough of this, you know, you'll feel a little tingly in your body. So I experimented with that, but I guess I didn't drink enough because I feel fine right now. So it's called grog, but apparently like it's really, really popular in Fiji. And I'm going to try this stuff again. You know, it's a really, I like anything that's organic. If it's organic, you know me, I'm like a farmer. If it's organic, it came from the earth, I will definitely try it.
You you also like a good body stone. Ryan O'Donnell, what was the, you had a story about, was it grog? Not gronk, it's grog.
Grog, yar, that's what pirates drink. That's what, it's because it's so easy to make. So you can do it with rum, so grog, and if you watch like any, you know, Lord of the Rings or any fantasy thing, it's, they're all drinking grog. Huh. It's not beer, it's grog, yeah.
Really? See, there you go.
I've never had it, though.
Being a nerd pays off.
Yeah, yeah, no, grog, it's like really, I just love learning and trying new things, and it was funny because I had all my family there, so all my uncles and my dad, they're all trying to get grog. I was like, you know, if you drink enough of this, you're probably going to get a little groggy.
And, oh, that's one. That's
yeah, a good dad so joke. I made a funny today. I was pretty happy.
That's good. Dad jokes coming at you. Thanks to Jasper for the jicama. There was another one from Winnipeg. I didn't have a name attached. Sally also sent one in. And Steve sent one in. And everybody else who passed in that that glorious little nugget of the Mexican turnip that I had no idea what it was. Learned something new here on The Shift. So, Andy, what are we going to nerd out about? We got a bunch of things to talk about because your handyandymedia.com website, I notice, is on the Facebook group already. So where are we going?
First, I want to talk about a fall DIY project that a lot of people can and maybe want to do or should do. Now, we're so dependent on our Wi-Fi at home. And what really bugs me, Shane, and I see this all the time because like I'm a nerd. So when I go to someone's house, I want to see what is powering your Wi-Fi. And a lot of people are using the gateway boxes that their internet service provider gives them. And so this gateway box, this is what brings in the internet. So it's acting both as a modem and a Wi-Fi router. The problem is, and a lot of people don't realize this, Wi-Fi technology has gotten so much better over the last couple of years. In fact, there is a new Wi-Fi standard called Wi-Fi 6. And so what you're seeing is all of these new devices come out that are, you know, going to give you your Wi-Fi. But what's different is they're using this technology that's been around for a while, but it's becoming the standard, and it's called mesh. And basically what it is, you got these little satellites that you would put around your house. So if you have, say, a three-story house, you could put one on each floor. These satellites kind of work like cell phone towers where they're kind of connecting to each other. And what it does is that it allows you to get and expand your Wi-Fi network. So if you have a dead spot and you want Wi-Fi, say it's your garage, maybe your backyard on a patio, or even your shed, and you notice that you're just not getting that internet there, with these kind of systems, you could actually, you know, build your own Wi-Fi network by creating these modular satellites all across your home. And it's all done on an app. So the app will actually tell you where to place them because they have to be in relative proximity to each other to communicate. But I just tried this new one, Shane, and it's on my website, handyandymedia.com, and also on the Shift Facebook group. One from D-Link. And the thing that makes it special, Shane, is that this one is actually affordable, because anytime you see new technology come out, it is expensive. And all of the other Wi-Fi 6 systems I've reviewed are like $500-$600. This one right now is under $200. Best Buy actually has a sale on it right now. So if anybody has poor Wi-Fi and really, really wants to upgrade, you don't have to be a tech expert to do this. All you need to do is download the app. The app will tell you exactly what to do. And what you're going to notice is that the performance of your Wi-Fi on all the different types of devices, doesn't matter if you're streaming on multiple devices, you're just going to know that it's going to be much more secure and reliable because of this new Wi-Fi 6 technology, because they made it for the smart homes of the future. So 70, 80, 90 devices can connect to your wireless network without any hitch. So definitely check it out. Go to the Facebook group, which, by the way, you're only three people away from hitting 300. So if there's I always check every week, Shane, to see where it's going. Well, you know, I got in the habit because I also have the YouTube channel. So I'm always watching my stats on that. So now I'm watching your stats too. And I really like the Facebook group. I like what people are posting. It's a really cool community that you've created there. And if people want, they can go and watch that YouTube video, which is on that group. Because we need three more people. I don't want to come next week. I hope to see at least 300 people there. So people, if you're listening, grab your phone, go on Facebook, find the Shift Radio Show group and join.
There you go. I will actually add on to that a couple of things. I mean, the whole point of the group is to not be political. It's literally for the community. So for when things are interesting to people or stories are cool and stuff like that. So it's kind of like we don't allow politics on the group. I mean, we will post stories about politics if there's something going on in the election or whatever, but there's no comments on those ones. And the invitation is just to build the community of nighttime folks. So feel free. If you just go to shiftheads.ca, that domain will redirect you there.
Oh, really? You got a domain there. Oh, that's easier, because it was a little bit, when I first joined, I had to do the search function. And I don't really, you know, Facebook is so big that search function is not that accurate. So the fact that you did that, you know, as a tech guy, I'm going to give you a high five for that, because that makes it really, really, really easy to do. But like I said, you know, it's like we're always talking, and you get the text messages from the Shift listeners. I don't really see that, but I see it now, the community, and just how you created that. And it's really inspiring, because it feels like a little family that you're putting together of these Shift heads across this great country of ours.
Oh, thanks, buddy. Well, it's not me. I'm not doing it. The people who listen to the program do it and contribute. And Thanksgiving, it's kind of fun when people post up recipes and those kinds of things online too. This Wi-Fi stuff is confusing to most people. I will say this, that if you don't know, if you haven't upgraded your router, so you say have Shaw or Rogers, and you haven't updated your router in forever because you didn't think about that, it's the same box that's been there for 6 years, 7 years maybe.
Yeah.
Just call them. They'll probably give you a new one for free.
Yes.
And because they want everybody on the faster technologies, and it will allow you to have more flexibility in what you get in your service anyway, then you can add on if you want to get some help, if it's not really your thing, to put on some of these extra add-ons, which are great. And this mesh stuff, if you've ever been in a mall or a hotel and you connect on, you connect on the hotel Wi-Fi or at the airport Wi-Fi, and you notice that you have Wi-Fi everywhere you go, and you're like, how come I don't get coverage like this at home? The reason why is because, as Andy described with the satellites, there's a whole bunch of these mesh things that are along the way that basically they hand off. They do a handshake. When you pick up on one unit and it gives you the signal and it measures you on the other units, and so it'll switch you over to the next one, switch you over to the next one as you walk down the concourse or wherever you're going, and you don't even realize that you're actually being moved from device to device to device, as opposed to at home when you feel like, oh, I'm far away. I have no signal outside in the backyard. So Handy Andy Barrar, handyandymedia.com, joining us now here on The Shift. Disco Andy talks about all kinds of things DIY, and we're leaning into technology mostly today here. It's The Shift. Now, Andy did a big lean in on the Facebook group. You want an update, Andy? You wanted 300 by next week, right?
Yes.
Your little rant right there, by the way, yeah. We're up to 319. So
what? Just like that.
25 members roughly in about 5 minutes. So it's pretty cool.
I'm your new hype man, Shane. This is great. Yeah. See, I knew I would always make a good hype man. I always knew that. And this is proof.
Yes. Maybe that's your next career, Andy.
Well, hey, I'm going to be a wedding MC this weekend. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, see, if I'd known that, we would have been going over your speech here on the program.
Well, I got the entire Barrar family and in the house, so I don't know if I can get through this without making fun of my own family and, you know, telling some jokes, because I haven't seen a lot of people because of COVID. And when I was asked to be the MC, I just smiled, because I'm like, I have no idea where this is going to go, but hopefully I won't embarrass my mom too much, because I know she'll be in the crowd.
How much does it cost me to get a video?
Oh, I'm sure we can get you a video.
I want a video. I want a video on the Facebook group of you drunk giving an wedding MC moment.
Yes. Oh, I'm going to have like Crown Royal in one hand and the microphone in the other hand.
Nice.
And, you know, it's going to be a very interesting speech, because I was like really into public speaking in high school. I don't know if I ever told you this, but when I was in grade 12, I won Shakespeare interpretation for my entire city. And, you know, so public speaking is something I've always done. And And I, you know, a lot of people, they said it's one of the biggest fears that people have is public speaking. Mm-hmm. And it's as long as I get to go to the bathroom before, I'm literally relieved before I start.
That's quite a bit of info. Is the family going to be, is the traditional Indian wedding, or is it going to be like a balance of Canadian and old school, or
which way does it go? You know, it's a, like, I'm Indo-Canadian, so I'm Punjabi, but the groom, it's my cousin, she's marrying a fellow from Fiji. That's why I tried that grok. But so they're Hindu, so they're having like a hybrid. So I'm learning a lot about, like, you know, we're all Indian, but they have a completely different culture than we do. And it's a it's one of the oldest religions in the world. So very ancient customs. And so I'm looking forward to it. And I'm going to let the other family know, because one of the things, I hope no one else is listening that's going to be at this, but I want to know why our last name is spelt wrong. And no one in my family has ever given me a concrete answer. So I figure now that we have everyone in the same room, I should be able to find this out, because my family has been, we don't even know when my great-grandfather immigrated to Canada. It was like 1903, 1904, 1905. So I got to figure out how I can actually find this information. There's got to be documentation somewhere, Shane, because, you know, as generations go, people want to know, like, why do you spell your name so differently? And, you know, I'm like, well, we've been in Canada for a long time, but we don't really know the origin story. So I'm hopefully the speech, with my Crown Royal in one hand and Mike in the other, I can finally get to the truth of the origins of the Barrar name.
Well, maybe when you're doing your speech, you can wear a smart headband. Will they make you smarter? Do they work or make you calmer?
Yeah. So I don't know if a lot of people have heard about these, but I have tried these, and there's these smart headbands. And basically what it does is it measures the electrical waves inside your brain. Because if you're stressed or anxious, there's a lot of activity going in your brain. And this one, it measures what's called the ECG. So those electrical waves, then all of that information goes into an app that uses AI to kind of predict what your mental state is. And what they do from there, and the most popular one right now, the one that I've tried, is called the Muse Headband, M-U-S-E. And what it does is it will teach you how to relax, and it uses a feedback loop. So it will, you put your headphones on and you open the app, and you can even have Deepak Chopra, like, give you meditation lessons. but it's measuring your heart rate, your brain activity, and you could actually learn to calm yourself down. And it gives you that kind of feedback that you're doing good. And what a lot of people have found, especially with athletes, is that they learn like literally how to relax their brain and how to get in a very relaxed state. So if you're ever trying to learn to meditate, you know, and you always struggle and you can't, you know, get into that zone, these smart headbands can help you do that. The only problem, Shane, that I've had with these is I get so relaxed, I just fall asleep. And mm-hmm. I'm like, you know, so I really never got into the meditation because I just get so relaxed. I close my eyes and next thing you know, I'm sleeping with this headband on me. But a lot of people have been using it to help them fall asleep. They're not cheap. They can go from like $300 to $500. But for a lot of people who are struggling with that or have, you know, are anxious or stressed and they just want to learn how to just breathe properly and relax their body and their mind, it's something you definitely want to check out. These smart headbands are starting to become more and more popular and you're seeing more brands come out with different kinds.
All right, we have about 60 seconds here. I want you to get these into Porch Pirates if you're doing your shopping already. Four quick ways to protect your parcels this holiday season. Can you get it done?
Go.
Yes. So a lot of people would think, oh, you just need one of those door cams. But the actual simplest thing, and it doesn't cost a lot of money, and this is what I use. What you got to do is build a box and put it right beside your door so that when people walk down the street, they can't actually see what's inside the box. Then all you have to do is right at your door, because they like to drop the package right in front of your door. All you got to do is make a little sign saying, put the parcel into the box. So there's no lid on the box, but if you make it big enough, and because I'm a tech reviewer, I get tech all the time coming to my house, and I'm always worried that people will steal it. If you can do that, you're going to be set, and you probably won't get any porch pirates. You don't need a doorbell cam. Just get a box and put a little note on the bottom of your door, and you're good to go.
It's a good way to go. I don't order anything so fancy that I'm worried about it. But still, 'tis the season. People are starting to shop a little bit sooner. I did read one post that said, I'm worried about supply chain problems this fall. My Christmas shopping is now complete after this weekend already. So pretty amazing stuff. HandyAndyMedia.com. Andy Barrar, thank you very much. Good luck at the wedding this weekend.
Thank you. I'll let you know how it goes.
Thanks for listening to the Shift Podcast.
Make sure you subscribe, rate, and review the show and share with anyone you like. Get it on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and CuriousCast.ca.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.